We left off in Acts chapter 9. And like I said earlier, guys, all Fridays are good to me. But there is no such thing as a holiday called Good Friday. That all these people celebrated Friday. You notice I'm not an early riser. We didn't have sunrise services this morning. And y'all could have started without me if you'd have wanted it, because I wasn't going to be there. I am not a religious person, because religion will send you to hell. It's just the way it is. Some of you have never been in here before. Some of you have been in here before and disagree with what I preach. Just keep coming. Just keep on coming. That's what I'm saying. It's hard to shed things that you've learned 20, 30 years over your life to just automatically just quit. I have the patience. Because a lot of people, they'll leave here and they'll go home. If they're never heard something of rightly dividing the word of truth, which is 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study, not read, but study to show thyself approved unto who? God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They don't know what rightly dividing the word of truth is. They rightly divide the Bible. They rightly divide the scriptures. It says rightly divide the word of truth. And you find that in Romans through Philemon, and we're going to talk about that in just shortly. But I want to show you something. I want to jump from Acts chapter 9 over to Acts chapter 13. Because Acts chapter 10 is about Cornelius. And Peter has nothing to do with us. Acts chapter 11 is still about the same stuff. Acts chapter 12, move on over to 13. Now, I want to read verse 2. Well, verse 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch. That's the church at Jerusalem, part of the church at Jerusalem. Certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas. Oh, Barnabas. Barnabas was in the church at Jerusalem. And Saul, Hebrew name, still preaching the gospel of God at this point. Now, in verse 2, as they ministered those people to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Remember, Barnabas in Acts chapter 9 introduced Saul to the apostles, specifically Peter and the half-brother of the Lord James. So, separate me. What is this work? That's what we're going to talk about. What is this work that he was separated unto? And verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, laying a hands on is not like it's preached to in these apostolic charismatic churches. They want to lay hands on you and heal you. Well, that's garbage. But the fact of it is, when you lay hands on, so we can lay hands on, say, Jimmy here. Jimmy trusts the gospel, and he's really excited about the Lord. And in a year, 2 years, 1 month, 1 day, whatever, he said, I got the call to preach. We take the elders, we do a service, and we try to convince Jimmy not to go into the ministry. No, I'm going to tell you what. That's what Brother Moore did. He said, if you're ever thinking about going and being a pastor or a minister, you better think again, because this is not no easy job. You've got to be able to take negativity and all bad things that can be said about you. It's a rough job. So we would say, look, do you want to be in this ministry? Yeah, I can hear. Yes, he wants to. Well, have you ever thought about rejection? No, not really, because look at all these people in here. Oh, yes, rejection. So we would convince him after we see his conviction that he needs to go out and preach the gospel. He's already convinced himself. But we give him an opportunity to back out. That's what we do. And we lay hands on him. That's the whole point of telling you that. It's not to heal or anything else. That's what happened here. They laid hands on him and sent Barnabas and Saul out to do the work that the Holy Ghost separated them unto, which was preach the gospel of Christ to begin with. And we're going to talk about that. So, I'm not going to cover this whole thing, but what did, in verse 9, Acts 39. Then Saul, who is also called Paul. So remember I said Saul was a Hebrew name. Who was the first king of Israel? Saul. So he was in the tribe of Benjamin, and so is this man right here, a tribe of Benjamin. But Paul was also a Roman citizen. So he was a Jew, and he was a Roman. Who's in the body of Christ? Jews and Romans. Jews and Gentiles, I'll say that. This is, Paul is a Gentile name. Now, so his name was changed. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, and he talks about some things. But now, so now we have got a man. And his name is Paul now. Hold on, right where you're at. Go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Paul wrote this book, and that's what we're going to start talking about. Who wrote what? Because it's so significant, you've got to know what's written to you. In Romans chapter 11, verse 13, Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." So who is the apostle to the Gentiles? Why would you want to follow Peter? What's all these churches in the world preaching that you've got to follow Peter and repent and be baptized out of Acts 2:38? You got an answer to him? I don't. Robert, you got one? I don't have one. Say no. But if you know who your apostle is in the world, don't. Right here. That's who it is. Where do you go to find his doctrine, his messages? You go into Romans through Philemon. The number 13 is a rebellion. He wrote 13 books, which is equivalent to 48% point so-and-so of the entire so-called, I'll just say so-called, from Matthew through Revelation, New Testament. He wrote 48%. One man did. Well, you got Matthew, you got Mark, Luke, John. What happened to that? You got James, you got the book of Hebrews, you got John, who wrote the first, second John. Peter wrote first, second Peter. First, second, and third John. You've got Jude, probably the half-brother of Jesus. You've got Revelation that John wrote from the Isle of Patmos. So, one man wrote over 48, almost half of the entire so-called New Testament. But you don't want to follow him. You want to follow Peter, who wrote two books.
If he wrote the New Testament where it should be, we'll probably wrote about 60%.
That's right. Things that differ are not the same. I hate to quote Stan, but that's true. Paul is your apostle. If you're following someone else, how can you get the message of salvation? You say you're saved? How did you get saved? Ask yourself, the Bible says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. So how did you get saved? Come on, somebody that believes that, tell me how you can follow the Apostle Peter, who was a great apostle, just not yours. How can you trust in what this man said for your salvation? Show me salvation out of Peter. Anybody, any theologian, any religious nutcase, Pope, I don't care who it is. You can't. Can you? Wow, are you preaching heresy? No, I'm not. Peter is not your apostle, and when you trusted the Lord, you had to have got it from here, because it ain't in here. They may have told you in your church that Peter's your apostle, and we're going to mix a little Paul with it, but if you're saved, you got saved by Paul's gospel, and he calls it my gospel. Romans 16:25, and over in Timothy. So we know that to be 100% fact. But are you saying that we shouldn't read or look at any of the rest of the Bible? No, I'm not telling you that. But for salvation, you shouldn't read any of the rest of the Bible. You can read other scriptures from Genesis through Revelation and make some kind of an application to, but that's all it is. It's an application.
Learn God's nature.
Yeah. We need to know where Jesus Christ came from. Don't that pertain to us? Our Savior, how He was born of a virgin. Sins passed from one man to another. It was passed from Adam down to us. How come Jesus Christ didn't get saved? Because His daddy wasn't Joseph. I don't care what all these other Bibles say about it. The Holy Ghost, God Almighty, impregnated her. He's sinless. But if if he was, and he's called a son of man, because he was born of a woman. But he didn't have no sin. Well, we all got sin in here. But now let's talk about something. We found out who our apostle really is.
Can I say something?
Sure.
When I was in the service, they'd have this course where that you could find your way in the course, but then you have a little compass and whatever you find. But if you start wrong, you won't get to where you're headed. And I remember when I was in the Bible college, that the very first thing they talked about was to understand the scriptures, you've got to start right. And so where do you start? And they started with Peter, James, and John. And so, really, when you got right down to it, did they start right? No, they didn't. So those people are lost when it comes to Scripture. And you ask a lot of people, do you really understand the Bible? No. Why is it? Because you're lost. You haven't started right. And if they tell you they don't know where, and that's how important this is, if you don't know who Paul is, and if you don't start with Paul, you're going to get confused and you're going to get lost in the Scriptures. And you will never understand it. That's the reason why people don't understand the Scriptures. And it was a struggle all the time to understand the Scriptures. And especially until I learned how to rightly divide the word truth, I mean, I was all over the place, changing this opinion and that thing and whatever. And that's why this is, if you don't know who your apostle is, you're not starting right. And you're going to be confused the rest of your life, and chances are you won't ever get saved.
You can love the Lord. I've seen people love the Lord. They never knew the gospel.
Right, and they won't see it. And like Bible said, if our gospel hits them, they're lost.
That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. And he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Those that are blinded,
I won't see it.
They can't see it. And so I can't help if you've got a relative, a mom and dad, whatever the case may be, that this pertains to. But if they don't trust the gospel of the grace of God, they're lost, and you can't do anything about it. But there's no reason you got to go to hell. There just is no reason. Because you didn't know at the time. They didn't know at the time because nobody ever preached it to them. What is our job as ambassadors? To preach the revelation of the mystery. What mystery? Ha! Huh. Hey, you didn't know the mystery. The Bible says, preach the revelation of the mystery. The mystery is this. That's what it is.
And to make all men see.
And to make all men see.
And it's important to understand, it's all four parts of that, not the three.
It's got to be the justification.
That's right.
See, what people want to tell you is, oh yes, and they go to Romans chapter 3, verse 25, and say, well, that's past sins. Well, I'll tell you what. The majority of the people will preach that your past sins have been paid for the moment you walk the aisle for Jesus and get baptized and pray through. Your past sins have gone away. But your present sins are the ones that you committed before you walked in this room. And even while you were sitting here thinking about, I wish he'd shut up, I'm tired of listening, I'm hungry. And those kind of things.
I agree with them.
They think that's paid for. But it's the ones 10 years, 30 years from now that you're going to commit. And believe me, you're going to commit them. You're not going to stop. These are paid for too. All of them are paid for. It said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, Paul says. But we're going to. Now, I want to touch something here. Go over to Romans chapter 1, would you? Go over to verse 16. See, you can, back at that point in time, now even sometimes today, but it's a rarity that somebody today has not heard of Jesus Christ. When you agree, even the Muslims know who that is. I don't know if those Indians that run around out there, the pygmies, they may not know, but you've got so many missionaries that go out, they should know who it is. But here's what we got. There's nothing wrong, and you need to do this. Christ was crucified, and he was buried, he was resurrected from the dead. That needs to be established. But for a reason. He said, to wit, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, which is you and me. Man.
That is so hard for people to rest in that and not their works, that it stops them. I was so blessed that I was in a dispensational church in 7th grade. That's when I was saved. That's when I was in a dispensational church. I don't wrestle with what you guys fight. I can't imagine what it's like.
Yeah, good.
But pure hell.
Yeah.
Trish is like that.
Trish is like that.
Yeah. Trish, for the other girl.
Now let's talk about Romans chapter, let me get over to it. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You've got the reason I told you that, because we read Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 about the gospel of God, which is no salvation. But you can preach that. And then you've got to get them the real stuff for this dispensation. This dispensation, of course, consists of, and I name started golly, why don't you call in and get food and we'll just stay here. Okay. This is the dispensation where those brackets are. This was an unprophesied period or age. And it's not in the Old Testament scriptures nowhere. You can't find it. It's hid in God. It was kept secret, the mystery was, but this time period was hid in God that we, Gentiles, could be even saved. And that's the fellowship of the mystery, but that's a different story. But there's a time that the Apostle Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, and there's going to be a day when we're called up to meet the Lord in the air, right there. And we're going to have our new bodies when we leave the earth. We're going up to meet Him at the judgment seat of Christ, wherever that may be, where we go. And then we're going to wind up somewhere on the throne, probably, with Him. That's where He's at. This is where God is at. Can y'all see that? But He's coming down. He ain't coming to the earth. Only for saved people. And this period is going to be over. I've told you many, many times, right here, prophecy, the Old Testament scriptures, was put on pause. There's no prophecy taking place today. I had some calls the other day about, matter of fact, Mary, she called me. Could you tell me about this red moon? Don't worry about no red moon. It happened in 1492. What happened then? Columbus discovered America, or somebody, Leif Erikson, or somebody did. Mm-hmm. 1948. It happened Tuesday, I think it was. It's going to happen again on probably September in the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm guessing of that. Is that right, Robert? Robert? Somewhere right in there?
Or was it? I can't remember.
It's going to happen next year. Oh. John Hagee's out there preaching, and he's got a book out. He wants your money to sell you about the red moons and what signs these are. There ain't no signs going on. It's in the scriptures taking place.
Yes. He calls it the blood moon.
Yes. It's a lunar eclipse.
Well, it doesn't happen yet.
No, it didn't. We should have killed all those guys over there at Al-Qaeda when they gathered together, which Obama wouldn't kill his fellow brethren. And he did get some yesterday, and he got some today. But he had a chance to wipe them all out at one time. And they had photographs of it. I can't believe I'm getting off on this. But they had photographs of it, and all the Al-Qaeda mixed together right there, and their faces were shown. They were having a party saying, damn America, and all that kind of stuff, this attack. And he didn't send a drone in to destroy, not one. But they did yesterday, got a few. They got a few this morning. His fellow brethren. Back to this. So, we know prophecy was put on hold there because the gospel of the circumcision was being preached. Paul started with a screen that you see, preaching the gospel of God, even though he was the first one into the body. So we know this is the dispensation of the grace of God. Dispensation of grace. I'll just say, yeah. We know this is another mystery right here. That was a mystery. This is another mystery that this is called the body of Christ. Nowhere in Scripture is that mentioned until you get to who? The Apostle Paul. That's a mystery. If anybody ever found out about it, they read it in this. They didn't get it nowhere else. Now, let's talk about this right here. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Uh-oh, that changed from the gospel of God, didn't it? "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." To the Jew first. There's a remnant that God wanted us to pick up, or Paul to pick up, and he did. "For therein, in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, this righteousness of God was not revealed to anybody else. It was in the gospel of Christ, and it's the power of God unto salvation. Now, I want you to see that. But when did that start? When did he start preaching this instead of just the gospel of God? Go to Acts. Hold on. Go over. Well, I don't know if you need to hold on here. Go over to Acts chapter 13 and go to verse 38. Acts 13, 38. Paul is talking to these people in the synagogue. Where did he go? To the synagogues to preach. In verse 38, he's telling them, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," that's Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the" what? "Forgiveness of sins." You'll never find that prior to this. "And by him," Jesus Christ, "all that believe are justified." What is that? "Cleared of all sins, just as if it had never happened, from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." You know what the law of Moses is, don't you? The Ten Commandments and all those total of 613 ordinances. You're telling me if I could have kept all of them in the Ten Commandments, I could have been saved? Yes, but you couldn't. You could have missed one. Because in James, oh, is it chapter 2? Or is it verse 10? It says, if you've offended in one, you've offended in all. You're guilty of all. So, you're not going to keep no law. And don't let anybody try to tell you. Should you try to live a right life, a good life, mortify the deeds of the body, to love one another? Yes, you should. But what if you don't? You're sealed, Jim. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Dessert.
You got food on your mind.
That's right. I'm getting hungry.
Now, look. This started in Acts 13:38 when he revealed what he was going to preach. But what did he preach? Who was he after? Preaching to the Jew and the Greek. Now, he had to pick up that remnant now. A remnant by the election of grace should be Romans 11:7, I think. But now look, I've got these books up here. Let's talk about that. Right here, I'm going to take some of this stuff off because it'll probably take us to the quitting time, and I don't want to do that. But that's the body of Christ in here. And when the last one is saved, guess what? We're out of here. And it reverts right back to what it was in prophecy. That's why ain't no prophecy taking place. Now, so, as you saw, I'm going to put this up here. You saw Paul get saved in Acts chapter 9, and he started preaching this green stuff, which is the gospel of God. Then, in Acts chapter 13, he was separated, Barnabas and him, and he started preaching the gospel of Christ. But you weren't in it. Never have been in it. He preached to the Jew first, you know. And he also preached to the Greek, the ones that blessed the seed of Abraham. But, you know, it just irritates me so bad. And I don't mind. I'd like to tell Hagin, I'd like to slap John Hagin. Because he's lying. That's what it is. Probably for filthy lucre. Lying. Buy his book. Bless a Jew. No, you don't. The Jew is no different than you are. But, in Acts 13, he started doing something. He started preaching. And this, let me see how I get it here. Acts 13 goes to this. Now, he's in the body first. And there's a time in here, even though he's in the body, this green here, he was preaching the gospel of God with no salvation. I got it going back to this line, but he can't exactly go back to the line because he wasn't preaching it. Now he's preaching the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. But what books do you go to find what he was preaching to those Jews and to those Greeks? That's where we're going. I'm going to put up here, he taught, and this is not the order that they were written in. This is the order God wanted to put in his book, the Holy King James Bible. But this Romans, this is called a pre-prison epistle. Now, he wrote Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 books. It's called pre-prison epistles. Why is he called that? Because he wrote the rest of his 7 in prison. This is to the Jew. And the Greek. Was not written to you. How do I know that? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's look at it. Let's look at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. But before I go there, I will hold on to that, Ephesians chapter 2. As you can tell, I'm just pulling this out of the pocket. Whatever pops up is what we're going to talk about. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Man, I know you got all this figured out. You've been studying like a madman, you and Faye. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to start in verse 1. And if you've never paid any attention to me or anyone else, you better listen to this. Because without this, you cannot be saved. Moreover, brethren, Paul wrote this book. Remember, I read it on the board. I declare unto you the gospel. He just said, the gospel that I preach to you, you're saved by it. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, believing in vain is not trusting. You can be a lost believer, like I was, believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, walked the face of the earth, did all the things the Bible said he did, everything that he said he did, that he was crucified, buried, and even resurrected. But I never trusted it for my own personal self, my own sins. I didn't know I was that bad of a sinner. I just thought I was a very good guy. No. One sin will send you to hell. You were born in sin. And sin transferred from your granddaddy Adam to you, whether you like it or not. It's just the way life is. Now, for I, Paul, deliver unto you first of all that which I, he got from the risen Savior, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You see that? And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see that, Mary Lou? It's according to the Scriptures. But this other, look, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And then we already read that right there. Now, so that is the gospel of Christ, whereby these people, and I'm going to read it to you, in Romans, you ain't got to go, I'll just read it, unless you just don't want to. Always check me out in every verse I tell you. check me out because I can make a mistake. I watch my videos once in a while, not just to see what I said, but once in a while, I hate looking at me. Y'all shouldn't, but I do. But, you know, we misspeak. I watch Brother Moore misspeak a ton of times. But I knew what he meant. We all do that. In Romans 11:5, this is the ones that I told you that the Jesus Christ wanted Paul to preach to and to get. He says, even so then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. You cannot work yourself into salvation. There's no way. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Oh, well, that's fairly simple to understand, don't you think? What then, in verse 7, Israel had to trust the gospel of Christ, that Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected for their justification, and the rest were blinded. That's what it says. The rest of the Jews were blinded. They were just a little bit. That the Lord wanted. He did not tell us the reason why. Yes, Jim?
What's the scripture you're reading from right now?
That was Romans 11:6-7. I think that's what it was.
Five to seven.
Okay. So he got that remnant. That's this blue stuff. Back over to Ephesians chapter 2. This is why you weren't in it. Yes, sir.
It talks about it. It's no more works.
And it was works. That's what it says. No more.
No more works. And the people in the church, after, like this one guy came to me and he said, well, I repented of my sins.
You did it, huh? You did it.
Yeah. And I told him, you did no such thing. That's what I told him. And it says, until you see it's no more works, then it says you're blinded.
It does say you're blinded.
And so I don't care whether you're a Jew or a member of First Baptist Church, you're blind as a bat if you think you've done something.
You can't do anything to save yourself. Yeah. Christ did it all. If you could have done one thing, Christ died in vain. Now, over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore now, y'all Ephesians, and that's what you are, Ephesians and Colossians, just like me. Remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by him. So the Jews, the circumcision, that was a covenant that God had with Abraham, that covenant of circumcision, that was Jews. They call it all of us, the Gentile dogs, the wild dogs, not the pet dogs. The pet dogs were the ones that blessed the seed of Abraham. We're the wild dogs, okay, and couldn't be saved. But that the Jews, the circumcision, was calling us Gentiles, the uncircumcision, made by hand. What? Verse 12. That at that time, when is that time? In time past. This was before Christ had revealed to the Apostle Paul that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It can't get any clearer than that. John Hagee, absolutely, if he knows this, has denied it, he's lied to the world. Why am I picking on him? Because he's a liar. That's why I'm picking on him. He's deceiving people. I'm tired of pussyfooting around with this thing. I ain't got much time left on this earth. I hope I got another 30 years. But the fact of it is, you all got to get it done. We all got to get it done. There's people going to hell because we're not telling them how to be saved. Get off your duff and get it done. I need to take my own advice. Man, you're harsh is what you're looking at. God, he got angry. Yeah, I'm angry about people lying to people about salvation. And you should be too. You know, anyway. Now, that time, what did it say? That we're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Well, why is he saying, blessed you? Blessed you. Strangers from the covenants of promise. You never were in it. But those Greeks were. They blessed the seed of Abraham. Now, verse 13. But now, wonderful words in the King James Bible. In Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh near by the blood of Christ. Ain't that something? For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. And man, I tell you what. I'm going to stop there, but I've got to address one other thing of where you're at. I don't want to stop there. There was a wall. I'll talk about this next week. There was a wall here. That kept me and you out of the body of Christ. Ordinances. And I know they were nailed to the cross and were removed. Now, that's what this is about. Verse 13 and 14. Verse 13. But now, we're made near by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace. And in verse 15, that middle wall had been removed. And now, people such as you and I can trust the same gospel with a different name. Now, and that gospel now has changed its name. It's the same here. But remember who this was to? The Jew and the Greek. But now it's called, when he done the prison epistles, which is what? Come here. Ephesians. Colossians. Philippians. Who said that?
Timothy.
First Timothy. Second Timothy. Philemon. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. One more.
Titus.
Seven epistles. Now, he's a prisoner in Rome. These are for this. Us, ungodly Gentiles that could not be saved back here. But now we're in the same body. It's called the body of Christ, the spiritual invisible kingdom. And now, we're in that body with those Jews and those Greeks. Because that middle wall had been removed. We're all made of twain. We've been made one.
It's interesting that seven works, and you know, seven is
spiritual perfection. Now, one second, Richard. I want to stop right there. But it's called, I didn't write it up here, but it's called the gospel of the grace of God. Next week we'll draw out at Acts chapter 7 where they failed. Where the Jews fell and they started diminishing, and when that took place of this point right here. I mean, this is just a scratch of the surface, but we'll get somewhere with it. But this right here is to. I've got to write that up there. Instead of the Jew and the Greek? How about that? It don't matter who you are, where you've been, whatever you've done. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ did something. He hung up on a cross. And he paid for all, guys. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you could have ever done that son, not John. But, and you've heard me say this 1,000 times. Before the first grain of salt was ever spoken into existence, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit got together, the Trinity. They saw every person in this room. They saw that someone would preach the gospel to you. And if you had never heard it before today, you've heard it today. It's on you to either accept it or to reject it. You reject it, you're going to go to hell if you die before you accept it. If you're going to have eternal life, everlasting life, if you trust. Give up trying to get saved and start trusting. That's what it is. You can't do anything about it. Now, we have our atonement. But this is what took place right there. He knew you over there. He knew that if you, like Jerry Lockhart, and I didn't know this about Jerry until the conference last year. Jerry Lockhart was riding along one night, and he hit a man and killed him. And I thought, wow, I mean, that just took me back, because I've been knowing Jerry for about 12 years. And I never knew. It wasn't nothing for me to know, but I mean, it's nothing that you talk about. But when he told that at the conference, I don't know if you remember that, it just took me back. He dealt with it. The only thing he said he felt sorry about is that maybe that man wasn't saved and he will never have the opportunity to hear the gospel. That's the only thing he can feel regret about. If the man was saved, he's already in heaven as far as his spirit. But look, so that's all sin. He knew you before the foundation of the world, every movement, every thought you're ever going to commit. And he, even when you were dead in your sins and trespasses, and believe me, we're all there, and we're still there. As long as you got blood running around in your veins, you're still there. Because blood is tainted and it's sinful. That's why flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There is no sin there, and blood is sinful. Unless it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the just for the just. Unjust. Now, so you see, there's nothing that you have ever done or can do if you are saved that can pull you out of His hands. Because in Ephesians 4:30 it tells you, you are sealed until the day of redemption. You can grieve the Holy Spirit by doing things you know is wrong, and we all do it. Don't tell me you don't. I do it. We do it. Our thoughts, etc., our actions. But the fact is, I cannot lose my salvation. If I could, God lied to me in His book. He cannot deny me. I am, out of Romans 8:1, it says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm there. Are you in Christ Jesus? I don't care what you believed before. You've got to repent. What do I mean by that? Change your mind. Jesus Christ is your Savior. Repent means change your mind. You may have thought He was your Messiah like these Messianic Jews or something. I don't know. I don't know what they believe. But anyway, I changed my mind and trusted the gospel of the grace of God, and I'm going to be unsealed until the day of redemption. And one of these days, my vile body is going to be changed like into that of His glorious body, and I'm going to meet Him in the air and forever be with the Lord. Amen. This is just, let me tell you this. Set your mind on heavenly things, not earthly things. I am, and hopefully you can say this, I am in this world. I am not of this world. Y'all have a good day.